Blog Talk Radio.
I give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. I give myself away. So you can, come on, let him know. I give myself away. I give myself away. So you can use me. I give myself away. What would happen if a generation embrace this? Come on, tell him. Here I am.
Here I am.
Submission on the Melting Pot Radio Network. I am your host for the evening, Danny Wright, and tonight we have a very special guest, Liana Sims. She is an author, a speaker, a youth pastor. She is a phenom. She is definitely a phenomenal woman. Her story is incredible. I'm so excited to have her on this evening's show. But as you all know, we start out every show, every Commission by Submission episode with prayer. So let us just prepare our hearts and our minds, and let's go before the Lord in prayer. Father God, we thank you. We thank you for this evening. We thank you, Father God, for keeping us and allowing us to get to this point in our day where we get to share the good news of the gospel with our listeners. We get to speak about what it is to have a relationship with you, to walk with you, to talk with you, to commune with you, to have an intimate love relationship with you. Father God, we're so grateful for our guest tonight. We pray, Father God, that you would just use her to speak through her, that you would allow her to remain, allow us to remain open and vulnerable to you. We just thank you. We thank you for this platform. We thank you that you've entrusted Daniel and I with this platform. You've entrusted us to not just have a radio show, but to really be open with our listeners. And we've been blessed because of that. And we pray that even if it's just one person that's listening live or that listens to the replay, Father God, that even if it's just one person that is impacted, their lives are changed. We praise God for that. We praise you for that. We thank you for that one life that has been impacted. So we don't take it lightly, the responsibility that we have to continue in your word, to live out your word, and to do the things that you've called us to do. We pray, Father God, that you allow us to remain humble, to remain obedient, to remain sacrificial, and to continue along the path that you've given us. We thank you, Father God, just for Liana. We thank you for her story. Man, I'm so excited about her story. I thank you for her life. I thank you for her ministry. And we are just excited to share this time with her. So we love you. We praise you. We honor you. And we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray and give thanks. Amen.
Amen.
Without further ado, I welcome Miss Liana Queen Sims to the Melting Pot Radio Network. Welcome to Submission, Commission by Submission.
Thank you for having me. It's an honor to be on tonight.
And you are in Los Angeles, correct? So
I am.
Yeah.
6 o'clock where I am. 6:07 here. Yeah.
6:07. So
yeah.
I'm in Ohio. Daniel's in Philly, and it is
cold,
dark, and snowing where we are.
Yeah.
So
that's not
we
fun.
Could. Yeah. I left a meeting, and I was driving home, and it was like whiteout conditions. I mean, it literally, the weather just changed so fast, and the snow is coming down like rain.
That's not.
That's how quickly
the snow is
falling.
I guess I won't take for granted my warm weather at 6 p.m. I won't take it for granted.
Yeah, don't, because I would be in Los Angeles with you in a heartbeat if I could. But the area that I live in, I always joke now, and I'm like, I live in Narnia. Like, it just, I mean, it is snow belt to the extreme, and, you know, a couple miles south of us, we'll get, like, 2 inches, and we have, like, 6 to 8. So it's just a total change. But I'm grateful that I made it home
yeah.
safely.
Yeah.
So that's a blessing.
Yes,
so tell us, who is Liana Sims, and how did you get the nickname Queen?
Oh, interesting. Okay, well, the first question is kind of like a really big question. Who is Liana? Who do I see myself to be, and who others see me to be? To me, I'm a regular girl. I'm a regular girl with struggles, with difficulties in life, but, you know, by the grace of God, I've been able to overcome a lot, and then, you know, as a result of that, be able to take the story and the journey that I've been on and hopefully, like, deposit hope into other people, you know? But I'm an everyday girl, you know? I like to laugh. I like to have fun. I like to kick it with the homies. I'm regular. I love Jesus. I love my kids, kids being the kids I pastor. I don't have kids. I want to clarify that. I want them, but I don't have them. And you know, I'm regular, whatever that means to different people. But I think I often say, I think what makes my story exceptional is the fact that in my mind, I don't think it is. I think that I'm very relatable and I'm very tangible. And so that it makes the everyday person be able to look up and be like, well, if Liana can overcome, if Liana can go after her dreams, if Liana can allow, you know, difficulty and hardship and setbacks to not stop her, then just maybe I can too, you know. And that's kind of what I more so pride myself on than feeling like I'm exceptional, like I'm unlike other people. I think what makes my story special is that I'm a lot like other people, you know, and so it makes them feel like they can do it too. But you asked me how I got the nickname Queen. And for those who don't know that may be listening in or I don't know, but, like, I struggled with obesity the majority of my life. And in the 12th grade, I was over 300 pounds. And I remember seeing the movie Princess Diaries. And that movie actually really inspired me because here's this girl, if you know about the movie, who is not your average, you know, queen or princess, rather royalty. She wasn't, by human standards, the image of what royalty looks like. And yet one day she looks up and she finds out that indeed she is royalty, you know, and it changed the game. It changed the face of what royalty was supposed to look like. It changed the face of what it looked like to be exceptional, to be prized, to be special. And so at 300 plus pounds, her story inspired me to run for prom queen because what 300-pound girl runs for prom queen? You know, like for me, my friends were, you know, cheerleaders, which was kind of crazy because I had such a mixture of just different friends and different backgrounds, went to public school in L.A. It just was not your average view of what a prom queen was going to look like. And even when I ran, I was afraid. Like, it wasn't really about winning. It was about me running. It was about me taking my confidence and saying, even in this broken state, even in this state that doesn't seem like the average view of what, you know, a prom queen would look like, I'm going to go for it. So it wasn't really about the results. It was about the confidence and the courage that it took for me to even put myself out there, you know. And so when I won, I was floored, you know. And so from that day on, I started going by Queen because at a very broken and humble state in my life, I decided to take a risk on myself, you know. And so I know that when people would encounter me, they really wouldn't know what Queen meant and they would take it the wrong way. But I knew the history behind it, you know, and it motivated me personally. So that's kind of where my nickname came from. And it's just stuck.
Wow. I mean, that just that story in itself is so empowering. And I love what you said. You said at a very broken and humble state in your life, you took a risk.
Mm-hmm.
Who does that?
Desperate people?
I mean, yeah, but exactly.
When you're desperate enough, you'll do it.
So what were you desperate for? To take
when I ran
risk?
For prom queen?
Mm-hmm.
When I ran for prom queen?
Yeah,
because
you said you took a risk at a very, you know, and when you're broken and humble to take a risk, you're desperate. So what were you desperate for at that point in your life?
Yeah. I think it was about I was desperate to believe in myself. And I think, you know, at that stage, and it's interesting because I believe, like, in life, it's not always about one moment. I believe that God is journeying with you, and it's the little moments along the journey that build up to these, like, huge life-altering, you know, experiences. And so when a lot of people ask me, like, what was my aha moment when I decided to lose weight? Like, yes, I can tell you about an experience and an encounter I had with God, but I can look back over my life and see the little moments along the journey where he was chipping away at the insecurities, where he was chipping away at, you know, the fear, where he was chipping away, and really not so much chipping away, but more so molding me, you know. But the molding process requires the chipping away. And so I think when I was a senior in high school, I didn't really even know all of why I did it. It just felt like something I needed to do for myself. It felt like I needed just to believe in myself just a little bit. Like, I was scared. I was very insecure. I didn't start losing weight, like, rapidly after that. I actually didn't start losing weight till years after that. But in that moment, I think I just needed a little bit of hope. I needed to believe in myself just a little bit. I needed to feel like I mattered. And that little experience in that very broken and fragile state of my life helped me to believe just a little bit that I mattered to myself. Not even to other people, because I could not determine what the results were going to be. But I was proud of myself for even putting myself out there, because when you're fat or you're overweight or you're obese and you've been made fun of all of your life, you do everything you can not to be in the limelight, at least when you had a journey like mine. Everyone's story isn't the same, but when you've been ridiculed, when you've been made fun of, when you've been tormented for just for being different, really, just for being overweight, you put a lot of energy into not being seen because you don't want to be made fun of. So I did the complete opposite in that moment, and I put myself out there potentially to be rejected.
Wow.
But I needed to do it for me.
Wow. I just love, I mean, I just, I'm over here, I'm like trying to calm down because you have me so hyped. I mean,
asking triggering questions like that, I start sweating and preaching from a bedroom.
But I just think, you know, and I think about, that's how it should be. You know, when we look back at our lives, or we can look back at yesterday and see everything that God has done for us, and we should get hyped up. We should be passionate about it. And so I love feeling the passion that you have for what God has done for you, because that's your witness. That's, I mean, that's what other people need to see. If we can't get excited about where God has brought us from, then we're missing out. We're really missing the mark. So,
well, honestly,
man,
when the Bible tells us to be witnesses of Christ, I think a lot of times people take that as like, okay, I got to take these scriptures and I got to go witness the gospel. Well, the greatest witness to Christ is who Christ has been to you. So when you talk about witnessing the gospel, share your story.
Amen. I would say, please say that again. You said the greatest witness to Christ is?
To share your story, to talk about who he's been to you and how he's journeyed with you. Because that's going to be the greatest witness.
Now listen, I'm about to get off of the phone with you and just allow you to just preach, because this is just awesome. I'm like, I just love that. You know, the greatest witness to Christ is to talk about who he has been to you. And, oh, man.
Yes.
So let's back up, because you took this risk. We kind of fast-forwarded to almost, like, what caused you to be where you are right now. But let's back up, because I think the journey to where you are now is so important. You struggled with obesity since elementary school, right?
Yeah, kind of just built over time,
So was it something that, was it was it something like dietary where, you know, was it how your family cooked, or was it just, you know, because I know for me, I would eat, I was an emotional eater. I would even eat when I was bored. So, and I know for everyone, it was, everyone has their own struggle as far as, you know, if they're overweight.
Yeah.
So what was it for you? Like, what was your trigger?
Right. Okay, well, here's the deal. I jokingly say this, but I mean this, like, wholeheartedly. Like, I feel like I'm an equal opportunity. I was / am undisciplined, an equal opportunity eater. So, like, when people are like, I eat because I'm fat, or I eat because I'm like, I eat when I'm fat, I eat when I'm happy, I eat when I'm, like, there was, that was equal opportunity. Like, it didn't need to be a reason. I like food.
Mm-hmm.
I like eating. And the thing is, like, it's taken me a journey to really analyze, like, my eating habits, my desires, my compulsions, all of those things. But I couldn't wait to understand all of those things before I started the journey. You know what I'm saying? Like, some things in life have to take place simultaneously. So what I did know was that I was obese and that I was in prison emotionally and physically, right? So as I decided to start losing the weight, I also was really in prayer and analyzing, like, what's my issue? Because I would watch talk shows like Jenny Jones and all those kind of stuff, and people, they would talk about how they ate because they were sad and they were depressed, and I just felt like I could not relate to that being the only time. Like, I didn't think sad and then ate, you know? And so eventually I realized I believed that I had an addiction to food, you know, and that how other people may turn to drugs or turn to stopping, or there's this high that they get, or there's literally like a chemical reaction in my body and a response to eating food, you know, and in my brain, you know. Some people don't validate it, but I believe that I have a food addiction. I believe. So for me, the journey came about how do I overcome addiction? And how do I overcome if desire never goes away? Because some things in life, you will always have the tug. And if it requires the absence of the tug for you to overcome, then you're screwed. And so for me, the journey became about, what do I want more than I want food? Not if I don't want the food, because if I was waiting to not want the food, that wasn't going to happen, or it hasn't happened yet. You know, it's kind of like Paul and his thorn, where he was like, God, can you take it away? But God told Paul, I won't take it away, but my grace is sufficient. And so for me, this journey has been to come about practical tactics and tools of overcoming, even if my desires don't cease. Am I able to tell myself no or enough? You know, and I talk in my book about having a why. And because if you have a why, your why becomes so strong that it's what you refocus on to help you overcome the moment. I don't know if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
But that's been my journey. As a kid, I just knew I liked to eat, and I liked to eat a lot, but I also felt ashamed. So I didn't really eat a lot publicly. So when you talked about eating, like my family, like I have siblings, none of them are overweight, or none of them were overweight, you know, growing up, like, sure, you know, statistically speaking in America, maybe they were a couple of pounds higher than they should be, but you got to consider race and culture and body type and all of those things when you take those numbers into account. But generally speaking, no one was really morbidly obese like I was. But I also realized that, you know, I would eat compulsively in times that I wasn't around other people, because there was definitely a sense of shame attached to my eating. I just didn't know where it came from or why it was there. But I wanted the food, and so I would eat in contexts where I couldn't really be ridiculed or made fun of or felt embarrassed for.
Wow.
But I decided I wanted to be free. And it was taking me out. And I was afraid. But I think the biggest thing that set me free was, you didn't ask me this, I'm just going to cut me off. When I'm saying too much. But when
nope.
I was a kid, when I was a kid, like around 16 years old, I had a conviction that I was called to preach. I didn't know what it was going to look like. I didn't know how it was going to manifest itself, but I had a love for the Word of God, and I had a conviction that God had called me into the ministry, right? That was at 16. So I started teaching Bible studies and leading youth services at 16 years old. Then I in college, I was in a season, which was a season when I started to lose the weight. I was in a season where God was challenging me in other areas of my life about living consistent, being authentic, right? So certain relationships, unforgiveness, bitterness, a lot of things, right? And so I got to a point in my life where I said, I will never preach a gospel I don't live. And that became the litmus for how I lived my life. I just didn't know all the areas God would start to challenge me in. So I didn't know that my obesity was going to be put on the table, and more so my bondage. And so I remember being at a prayer service, and it was literally at my church, and it literally, like, I felt overwhelmingly compelled by certain scriptures, who the Son sets free is free indeed, where the Spirit of the Lord is there is liberty. And it was like, in that moment, God had challenged me. Liana, you said you would never preach the gospel, you didn't live. But you're in bondage. And you preach a gospel that says, I set the captives free. How does that inform your everyday? And I was scared out of my mind, Danny, because I had known no one who had naturally lost weight, like who had overcome obesity naturally. I knew one woman in my church who had gotten surgery, and I knew a whole bunch of people in my life that were, you know, overweight, and a lot of people that said God can do anything, right? And that guy, and that there's freedom in Christ. So what does that look like for me? And so I had to take a risk with God and say, you know what, God, I said I wouldn't preach the gospel, I didn't live. And I'm definitely afraid to trust you, because if I trust you with this area of my life and you don't come through, I will be very devastated. And that I would rather stay obese and not try than try and fail.
Wow.
And so, but I was like, you know what, then I got to stop. Either I'm going to stop preaching the gospel, or I'm going to take a chance with God. And so literally that began, that season began my transformation. And that season began literally because I availed myself to it being possible. I shifted my mind, you know, because that's when the battle was won. For so long, I believed it was impossible. Like, I can't lose weight. I can't. I've come too far to turn back. I really want to, but I feel defeated, so I didn't really even focus on it. Because it was just like, well, this is my life, you know. And then in that season, I availed myself to God. I changed my mind about what was possible. I said maybe. I wasn't fully convinced, but at least an indefinite state turned into a maybe. And that maybe was kind of like the man who said, God, I believe, but help my unbelief. Those areas that I'm still struggling with, you know, help me. So that was kind of my disposition towards God when it came to losing weight and overcoming. And from that point on, literally, he started giving me little ideas, practical ideas, sending people along the way to encourage me and be accountability. And when I vocalized that I wanted to lose weight, my godmother bought me my first pair of athletic shoes. You know, it's a little thing. I stopped drinking soda and I started drinking water. I didn't become a weight loss guru overnight. I didn't become a fitness guru overnight, but when I changed my mind about what was possible, God started applying the resources necessary for me to overcome. And that's
you
how
better
I ended
preach.
Up where I am. That's how I ended up where I am. It wasn't
wow.
no miraculous. It was a miracle. The miracle was he helped me change my mind. And from that, my actions started to follow suit. And his grace was so readily available to me. I mean, everything would speak to me. Commercials, billboards, sermons, songs. Like, people would just rally around me and see me doing the work. My family would intentionally, they didn't change all their eating habits. But I had an aunt that every family gathering I came to, she made sure there were options available for me. Even if the rest of the family was eating fried chicken, there was some baked chicken for me. You know, like, that was how committed other people started to become to my journey, because I decided to change my mind.
Wow.
So a couple years later, and I'm just trying to help people change their mind.
So, wow, I'm, like, speechless. I mean, like I said, your story is just so impactful, and it's so rich with not just how God moved in and through you, but the fact that you had a made-up mind. Because, I mean, just speak on how I just want you to go a little deeper with that.
Okay.
Because I don't
okay.
want people to miss what a made-up mind can do.
Okay, well,
and the importance
okay, I will go
of that.
Yeah, that's deep. Well, I will plug this. I need to get my book, Monday Never Comes, because I talk all about it in the book. But I'll give you some nuggets about a made-up mind. First of all, I think I've said it already, but I want to emphasize the fact that, like, there's just this miraculous, like, intertwining between your will and God's grace. And so I do not take full credit for where I am today. That somehow along the journey, God's grace provided avenues for me to shift my focus, if that makes sense, and to gain the strength to even change my mind. So, like, you know, you can't plan every encounter. You don't know every sermon you're going to hear. You don't know every song that's going to come your way. You don't know the conversations or the people God's going to bring along your journey that help shift your reality, right? So, like, while I still had to respond to those encounters, I didn't plan them. And those encounters, I am clear, were provided to me by God. But a made-up mind, I think it's more so like your mind isn't made up overnight. I believe in taking chances. I believe in taking chances, and I believe in risking. So, like, my confidence grew over time. I went from this is impossible to maybe it's possible. So I'll give it a chance. I'll try it out. And as I saw myself overcoming the little things, they added up and they built my confidence, and therefore they helped to reshape my thinking, if that makes sense. But I started with a point of desperation, and that was, if I don't change, I will die here. And even if I don't physically die here, I will emotionally and psychologically die here, which means I might as well physically be dead. And so I was in a place, my pastor often says, have you ever been so down that you jumped up and touched the bottom of down? Like, that's how down you are. Like, you feel like there is no more further down than where you are. And when you're in that place, your only two options are to give up or to risk like heck, like to just take a chance on yourself. And that's where I was, because I was like, there's got to be more. Abundant life has got to be more than this. Life in Christ has got to offer me more than always being afraid, always being insecure, always making decisions off of comfort, always limiting my opportunities in life. Living in Christ got to be more than this. So what I did was I decided to try. And that was where my mind shifted, when I was willing to try. And I think a made-up mind is developed along the journey. You do not have to have full confidence on day one. Who does? In anything. No one ever has full confidence in day one. Confidence is built as you see yourself overcoming. So the only thing you have to do is do a thing today you didn't do yesterday. One thing. That's all you have to do. Is do something you haven't done before. Do one thing. And celebrate it. So if you have 500 pounds to lose, I don't care. Did you lose 5 pounds? Celebrate it. And keep going. And that's how my mind began to be made up. Because fear tells you what you can't do, right? But if you move in the direction that fear is telling you you can't move in, then the fear begins to decrease because you see that it doesn't make sense to be afraid because you're doing it. And that's how my mind started to become made up. As I tackled little by little, I decided and I planned and I prepared and I positioned myself. And over time, it added up.
Wow.
Someone just texted me and asked me if it's possible for them to call in and ask questions. If so, can you tell the audience how?
Yes. So if you want to call in and ask questions, all you need to do is dial 657-383-1589, and you'll pop up in our call queue. Excuse me, and we will get you on the line. So I do see that we have a caller on the line right now. Let me bring them on. Welcome to Commission by Submission. You are live on the radio with Miss Liana Queen Sims. How you doing tonight? Tell us your name and where you're calling from. Uh-oh, did we lose her?
I guess so.
They might have their phone on mute, which is fine. All right, let's bring on someone else. Hold on. Welcome to Commission by Submission. You are live on the radio with Liana.
Hi, I'm just calling to tell Liana that I'm so excited to hear her on the radio, and I hope that so many people are blessed.
Live on the radio with
Oh, thank you. I hear feedback in the background.
Yeah, you've got to, if you have the, if you're listening on the internet, just turn
we'll
your radio, just turn the volume. Yeah.
Okay,
Liana, this is
Elistine.
How are you?
Hi, Elistine. I am doing well. Thank you for your support.
Of course. I just wanted to say how blessed you have been in my life. Liana's like almost twice my age. I mean, I'm almost twice her age, I should say.
Yeah.
And she is been such an inspiration and a support for me in my life that I just want everybody to just be blessed by her. So I just am praying for her tonight that so many people hear her and that they go out and buy the book so that they can be encouraged.
Buy the book.
And yes, buy the book, Amazon.
It's 25% off right now. Actually, you can get it straight from my website, mondaynevercomes.com, and it's like on sale for 25% off. So I will sign it, mail it right away. So, yeah, if you want to know more about the journey and the process and how you can overcome as well, even if obesity is not your thing, because that's where I emphasize principles more than specifics. So that it can apply to various people's lives.
Okay, that's all.
Thank you, Leslie.
All righty. It looks like a couple people have dropped off. Hold on for 1 second. Let me bring the next caller on the line. Welcome to Commission by Submission. You are live with Miss Liana Sims.
Well, hello. This is Lynette.
Hello.
I heard that little unmuted thing. I said, oh, that's me. I just wanted to say to Liana, thank you so much. You know, I've been listening in, actually on my way from church tonight. Mm. And one of the things that stood out to me that I kind of want to reemphasize too is when you said, all right, let me not mess it all up. I'm just kind of
right,
how I'm trying to take off my boots and everything.
Just say it.
It was one of the things you said where you said you'd rather stay obese and, you know, kind of like not worrying about trusting God rather than trying to lose the weight and then, you know, being upset that God didn't come through for you.
That's how
and
it was, Yeah,
and that right there was so powerful to me because that speaks to a lot of situations, you know, in general. I know that spoke to some situations that were in my life as well, you know, one that I'm still overcoming myself because I find that people are scared to, you know, go on and be the best them that they can be because, you know, they just don't want to be let down by God and they don't want to dislike God and question God. You know, so they hold themselves back from a lot. So that I just wanted to let you know that really blessed me, and I know for sure it definitely blessed somebody else out there. And I'm so glad that, you know, you don't speak to just obesity. You speak to so many different situations. So
praise God. What'd you say your name was again, Lynette?
Yes, I am Lynette.
Lynette. Like, I honestly, that is a real place that a lot of, you know, Christians don't. We're scared to really be honest about, and as the fear that, God, if I trust you, will you really hold me up? Do you really got me? Because it shakes our faith. Mm-hmm. So we'll rather stay stuck in our little comfortable zone, even if it's uncomfortable, it's still comfortable because it doesn't require us to risk and really challenge God. And challenge God in a positive way, but challenge God to meet us in that space. You know, but also at the same time, our life is falling to pieces and we're faking the funk like we're okay and we're not, because we're deadly afraid to take a risk and God not meet us in the middle of the ocean.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And
right.
I can attest to that. But I can also attest to what it's like to risk with God. And even if it doesn't always look the way I want it to look, He always comes through. He's
always.
He's always coming through. And His coming through doesn't always look the way we think it should look in the moment. But if you just keep journeying long enough with Him, you see His goodness manifested time after time after time. But you only know that by taking a risk.
Yeah, yeah. I love that. I love that. I thank you so much for that.
No problem.
All righty. Thanks for calling, Nett.
You're welcome, Danny.
All right. All right. We've got one more caller on the line. I want to bring them on.
This
welcome to
me.
Submission by Submission. You are live with Miss Liana Sims, and I know our other host, Mr. Daniel Trawick, is on live with us now too. He's Lynette is actually his wife. So,
oh, hi, Daniel.
Hey.
So I know we have a caller from 323 area code. Are you there?
Awesome,
I'm
LA
here.
People.
Hey, welcome to Commission by Submission. What's your name?
My name is Stacy Bolton.
Hey, Stacy.
Hi, I'm just calling in just to encourage. She's like a little sister to me. And so I just want to just continue to encourage her and let her know that God is using her in such an amazing way, and that I'm so proud of her, and she's going to change generations. And I'm just proud of her, and I just wanted to call in to let her know that.
Thank you, Stacy. I love you very much. Thank you, Stacy.
I love you more. So I have the book, and it's a blessing. So get the book, people.
Get the book, people. Get the book.
All right. So listen, what we're going to do really quickly is we're going to go to a very quick commercial break. And then when we come back, we are going to have you talk about your book and how people can reach you on social media. So.
Okay. Sounds good.
Hang on for 1 second, and we will be right back. You are listening to Commission by Submission on the Melting Pot Radio Network. right, welcome back to Commission by Submission on the Melting Pot Radio Network. Just want to let you all know you are tuned in with Miss Liana Queen Sims. If you are unfamiliar with our lineup of shows, here we are. We have Spit Game Monday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern. We have Business Blitz Tuesday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern. Then this show, Commission by Submission, Wednesday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern. On Saturdays, we have The Show with Big TJ and Monty, the Sportologist. That airs at 10 p.m. Eastern. Then on Sundays, we have No Box Thinking with Jonathan Kegler. That airs at 7 p.m. Eastern, I believe. So a whole lineup of shows for you all to enjoy. Make sure that you are following us on Twitter at MeltingPotRN, at MeltingPotRN, Twitter at MeltingPotRN. On Facebook, our Facebook account is facebook.com/TheMeltingPotRadioNetwork. We're also on Instagram at MeltingPotRadioNetwork. And, of course, you can always hop online and listen to any of our shows, the podcast. You just go back and just start listening. We have such a great lineup of shows. And make sure you log on blogtalkradio.com/Melting Pot Radio Network. So as we continue with tonight's show, welcome to my co-host and my partner in progress, Mr. Daniel Trawick, who has braved the Philly weather and made it home from church. Welcome to the show.
Yes.
Your show, our
yes.
show. I know you're fired up because I was getting text messages
oh, yeah.
from you. As you
oh, yeah. Oh,
Liana
yeah. I was texting you, Danny. I was texting you. I was emailing Queen Liana. I was just everywhere. I was trying to hurry up and get home so I can get on the show, but my God, thank you, and it's crazy because you know the message at church tonight was that I got was something that I speak often. You know, there is salvation and transparency. So you know, you telling your story is saving so many souls for God. You know, you're building the kingdom, and like my wife, who snuck on the show before me did, very rude. You know, she was saying that it just doesn't speak to obesity. You know, your story, it touches so many different people who just have
exactly.
that struggle, just a struggle in general. And, you know, having that faith and trusting in God and just laying it all out on the line and walking out on faith, it's hard for many people to do. And, you know, it's your story, stories like yours that give people that hope and just say, look, if she can do it, I can do it. I can do it. All
Man.
They need is that one person to see. They just need that one person, that one example to just help push them a little further. They may not ever meet you a day in their lives, but trust me, sister, you are pushing so many people toward God with your story.
Oh,
and
that's crazy.
I am just so blessed. I'm just so thankful. You're on our show. Danny, she's on our show.
I am grateful.
She's on our show.
I am the grateful one. You guys didn't have to give me a platform to share my story, and so I don't take that for granted. You know, there's a lot of stories out there of people, you know, who God's doing great work through, and just the opportunity to share it, you know, is not always the case, you know, and so I'm grateful.
Oh, yeah, and as I'll say to you, as I say to everybody else, to God be the glory. It's not us. It's all God.
Yeah.
So
I'm with it.
It Whew. Is. So let's truck right on ahead. How much time do you have with us, Liana?
How much time you need? You got me.
Okay. We'll keep rolling. We I want to talk about your book, but first,
okay,
let people know, shout out your social media and how people can contact you for speaking engagements, for you know, book signings and things like that.
Absolutely. Okay, so all of my social media is the same. It's the one word, Watch Queen Lose. So Watch, W-A-T-C-H, Queen, Q-U-E-E-N, Lose, L-O-S-E. And I can explain how that came about later, if you care. But Watch Queen Lose is all of my social media. So Instagram, Facebook, Snapchat, Twitter, all the same. And as far as contacting me, I have a website for the book called MondayNeverComes.com. MondayNeverComes.com, which is the name of the book, where you can order the book, but also there's a tab on there that says for speaking engagements, how you can contact me. You fill out the form, hit me up, let's make it happen.
Awesome.
Yes, ma'am.
So I know Daniel has been raring to go. He's been hyped up. So I'm going to allow my partner to take the reins. Let's talk
about it. So this is what I'm going to do, because this is what God is telling me to do. Queen Liana, talk about your book. Just talk about your book. Let's hear about your book, Monday Never Comes.
What's wrong with it?
Yes.
Okay, so the book, initially, I didn't even have a title for it. I started jotting down, like, principles and things I was learning along my journey. This was back in, like, 2012. And I didn't really know the direction or where it would go. I just was compelled to write, and I knew that somehow it would become a book. And I think it was 2012, I was invited to be on the Today Show, which was a crazy experience. I'll talk about that in the book. But while I was in New York, I went to dinner with a friend. And my friend, his name is Aaron. And Aaron, we went to dinner, we were just chopping it up, and he was like, Queen, my girlfriend bought me some tennis shoes. And see, people at that point in time, because I had lost a significant amount of weight, always told me about, like, their goals and stuff, even if they weren't overweight or anything that had to do with fitness, something like that, they would just kind of share with me, you know? So I said to him, Aaron, when are you going to start running? And he just looked at me, and he was like, I would hate to say Monday. I was like, because Monday never comes. And it just hit me in that moment, like, that is the name of the book. How often do we talk about this delayed point in time when we're going to do something, right? But we usually delay it because we have some, like, crazy idea that maybe the next day is going to give us more strength or more capabilities or something supernatural is going to happen in a different moment in time that we're going to feel stronger, we're going to feel more capable, we're going to feel more empowered. And the reality is that doesn't happen. There's nothing miraculous about a different point in time, but we delay it as if today's strength isn't enough.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where my book came from, because it was like, until you abandon the Monday mentality, you're never going to do what needs to be done, because everything you need to be that you need to do needs to be done now. If you have the goal now, then you need to make the decisions now. If you have the desire now, then now is when you need to apply the tools and the tactics and the resources that you do have. You know what I'm saying? And so that's what the essence of my book is, whether you have an obstacle to overcome or a dream to fulfill, you can do it now.
Yes.
I will say the most important part, let me say why this book is really important to me, because I emphasize the fact that no matter what your thing is, it applies, right? Well, at the point in time when I started writing, my theme was overcoming obesity. And I was like, I can help inspire people with overcoming obesity. Well, in 2013, out of nowhere, and I mean out of nowhere, like I'm eating a bowl of Cheerios, and I get a phone call, and my mom says, Lily, I tried to resuscitate your dad. And I flipped out, because I know try means without success. And that shifted the entire, like that year was a very broken, vulnerable, like it was a very hard year for me. And I remember the top of 2014, because that was 2013, that was Good Friday, March 29, 2013, changed the game for me. 2014, that entire year I didn't write. I didn't write, not intentionally. I didn't have the strength. I didn't have the desire. I didn't have the encouragement to do so. 2014, I decided to pick back up, trying to write this book. Well, I go to San Diego for like a week or a couple of days just to kind of get familiar with it because I hadn't touched it in over a year. And while I was in San Diego, something happened. I thought I went to San Diego to edit the book. I went to San Diego for God to challenge me all over again because I was at a desperate state in life. I was at a broken state in life. I was at a state in life that I didn't think I could keep going. And I pride my book on the fact that whatever your thing is, I just didn't think I would have a new thing, right? So in that time of me being in San Diego, what happened was I read the book and I said to myself, if I cannot live this out right now, I can't publish the book because it's not real. And from that point, I was being ministered to all over again and being challenged for my own book. Like, what does it look like to push past, to live in the face of discouragement? What does courage look like when you're afraid? What is, like, all these principles that I'm telling other people came out of my weight loss journey were now principles that God was challenging me with in the state that I was in at that point in time, you know, in the face of shame, in the face of brokenness, in the face of feeling defeated, in the face of being vulnerable and broken and knowing, you know, I got kids to minister to. You know, like in the face of all of that, does it still apply, Liana? Is it still real? And so that's why the book really matters to me, because I was able to have the confidence to say, no, it's still legit, because I decided to take those same principles and apply it to another desperate state. And so I realized that the book matters way more to me out of what I came through in 2013 than I actually overcoming obesity. And so that's why I am passionate about it, because I lived it and lived it again and I get afraid today. So what does courage look like today? I have a whole chapter just talking about courage and what it actually means, and that you don't have to be fearless. I don't even believe that exists. Who is fearless? It's not about being fearless. It's about not being paralyzed by fear.
Yeah.
And so that's what my book is about, you know, and that's, I really hope to, you know, reach people in their, wherever they are.
Oh, yeah, you done touched on so many different points with the book. You know, first, you know, going to the title, Monday Never Comes. Danny and I, we're both entrepreneurs, so, you know, we have our own businesses. We do our own thing, and you know firsthand, When things are starting to get rough, it's like, you know what, I'm gonna start that off fresh on Monday, the fresh beginning of the new week. I'm gonna start knocking it out then, and
that's how
you easily get behind on so many different things. When you know, once you get behind, it starts to, that fear, as you just said, starts to creep up on you.
Yeah.
It starts to creep up on you. You know what? Maybe you won't be able to get this done. You shouldn't start on Monday. You know what? Get yourself right first. Make sure you get your mind right before you start. Start next Monday. Next Monday. And you start to psych yourself out. You just start to defeat your own self. And, oh, my gosh, this book.
A year worth of money has been passed.
What'd you say?
I said you look up and a year worth of Monday
has
passed.
Who
and
you telling?
New Year's resolution. And it's like, listen, just do it now. There's nothing special about January 1st. There's nothing special about Monday. There's nothing special about a new birthday. Like, there's nothing special about any of those things. The shift takes place in your mind. It doesn't take place in time.
Yep, and it's funny because I think it was probably about 2011. Danny and I had a vision of starting our own sports talk radio show. And you know what? It was like, you know, we're going to start it. We're going to do it then. All right.
Yeah.
And then 4 years went by. And it was like, yo, remember, like, years ago, we said we were going to start a radio show, you know? What happened? Life happens. Life happens.
Yeah.
So many different things come your way. And, you know, at that point in time, from 4 years ago to now, we were in different points and times in our lives, and it was that moment where, you know what, we need to start this show now. Like, And yeah, it was, right, we had a meeting one night, and the next week we on the air. That was just the end of it. So it took us 4 years to have 1 week.
Yeah. Life is always going to be happening. And if you're waiting for it to slow down, good luck.
Oh, yeah.
It's not going to happen.
It's never going to slow down.
There's always going to be an excuse to not do the thing that needs to be done. And usually we're naming it other things, but the real thing is fear. So it's that I don't have time, I'm this, I'm that. At the end of the day, it's really that subtle belief that can I really do this? Because when you decide to do a thing, you prioritize it and you make it happen. Because 24 hours is all you're going to get, period. So it's not about time checking, it's about you readjusting your priorities in lieu of the time you are given.
That is it. That is it right there. And, you know, in the walk, in the spiritual walk, in the Christian walk, you know, we quote these scriptures, we go to church, we know all the cliche sayings, but do we really believe them?
Yeah.
Are we really trusting God for the things that he said that he was going to do?
Yeah. A lot of us like to stand back and we want God to do something to make us feel more confident in trusting him. But the word says taste and see that the Lord is good. And at the end of the day, it doesn't matter how many scriptures you know, how long you've been in church. There's something there's a knowing of God that only comes through experience. And so, you know, it's the willingness to step out in the middle of the doggone ocean and trust that he will not let you sink.
Yeah.
And he won't.
That's what it comes down to. Never
Even
will.
Even when you feel
never
like
fail.
You're sinking.
Still got you. Right there. He still has
you.
And now, I want to go back to this new awakening in you with this book. You know, you wrote the book based on your journey, and then you had another devastating time in your life where you just didn't feel like you could do it, and you said, you know, you can't publish this book if you're not living it. So can you like talk about that journey that you faced, you know, in 2013 when you really got to that point and said, How can I really publish this book? What was going through your mind when you read the book over again in San Diego and you said, you know what, how can I publish this book if I'm not living it? What was actually going through your mind at that time?
Let's see. So, like, I think for me at that time, not to go into, like, depth, even though I'm a very transparent person, but I think that year in 2013, I'll be transparent to a degree. That year in 2013, I was very broken. And I, you know, very vulnerable, very broken, and I found myself making decisions that didn't seem consistent with the person that I wanted to be. You ever looked up and saw yourself in a place that was like, is this my life? You know, is this me? You know? And I think for me, it was in a state of brokenness and despair and a lot of pain and anger. I was disappointed with God. I was mad at God. I had to say to myself, you know, really the litmus for me was, what do you want these kids to believe about God, Liana? Because I'm a youth pastor. You know, and I think that really became my time in San Diego and my just own journey. I think there's something beautiful when God gives you reasons outside of yourself to fight and to be accountable, you know. And so I was so compelled to live, to fight because I had kids that were watching me, you know what I'm saying? They were watching to see how I handled my brokenness. How I handled my pain, how I handled, you know, and I was very transparent with my kids. You know, it's okay. That, you know, I think that actually helped them because a lot of times in the church, you see people only talk about what God did and what God did pre-relationship with him. But there are not a lot of people who talk about how God is still journeying with them through their brokenness, how God is still picking them up. Out of despair, how God is still picking them up from shame and you know, just decisions of everyday life. And I think that helped me to walk it out in my own life, you know, knowing that there was someone else who I was accountable to.
Oh, yeah.
And that was looking at my life. And so when I think about, you know, 2000, and kids can see through a lot.
They can see through a lot, you know.
And so I think for me it was the practical things. I started going to therapy. Because I was like, I got to get my mind right. You know what I'm saying? Like, I got to fight for myself. It became very practical for me, very practical. I started going to therapy, which became like a really, I mean, and I think in, especially in the Black community, a lot of times therapy, no one talks about that. You know what I'm saying? We don't need that. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's white people stuff. We're strong. You know, that kind of foolish mentality, you know. But it comes from a lack of exposure, a lack of resources, a lack, you know, so I'm not, like, blaming us. But I think that there comes a point where you start to bring, you start to do whatever it takes to fight for your life. And so just like I decided to start eating better, in 2013, it wasn't about my physical health as much as it was about my psychological and my emotional health. You know what I'm saying? And I became also very vocal about that journey. So it helped other people in my community around me know that it is okay to not be okay. And it's okay to get help. And it doesn't make you weak. And it doesn't mean you don't trust God. You don't have to pull, you don't have to get up and say, I'm blessed and highly favored and everything's okay if everything's not okay. You know? Yeah. And you don't have to put on your Christian verbiage. You can say, today's a bad day and still love God. You know what I'm saying? You can go to therapy broken and sit in your hour session and pour your heart out and get the help that you need. And for me, some of the practical things of life make the scriptures come alive for me, where God says he's a refuge. You know what I'm saying? For me, an office in Santa Monica became the manifestation of God's refuge for me. You know, and so a lot of those things became very practical for me. And so 2013 was really about me going the distance to fight for myself and to fight for my kids and to get into a place where I was willing to say, by any means necessary, I will not let this season take me out. But just like it was weight loss, it was a day-by-day decision. It was a week-by-week decision. All I could say was, this Tuesday, I'm going to go to therapy. Okay? You know what I'm saying? Like, I didn't know what the next 5 months were going to look like or the next year. I just knew that today I have a choice to show up in the office today. And it's the same thing with the gym. Today I have a choice to get up at 5:30 and go to the gym today. I can say one slice of pizza instead of three slices today. You know what I'm saying? Like, that is how practical the walk with Christ is. When he says he's our daily bread, he's our sufficiency for today, it legitimately means he is our sufficiency for today.
Yep, that's right.
And
that's
so it started to come alive for me in various ways.
Wow. Now you talking about your why to push during that time for your kids. And, you know, Lynette and I, we have 11 children. You know, we're open about that. And
that's dope.
That's our children. Yeah, that's our children. So so we...
Listen, I would love to have that many kids. God has got to bless me financially and emotionally to be able to take care of them, but I would love to have that many kids.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So, you know, with that, it is such a blessing, you know, to be blessed by God with those gifts anyway. But as you said, with your struggle and your fight, they see you. They see you. They see what you go through. And, you know, you can't fake the funk with kids at all because they see it. They're not dumb. They're not blind. They see what's going on. And when you try to fake it, that's hindering them from them reaching their full potential and growing the way that they need to grow. So, you know, it's okay to let them know at times things ain't right now. It's going to be all right. I mean, I trust in God that, you know, I'm going to figure it out. But right now, I'm going through it. And, you know, I had my transparent moments with my children. They witnessed me crying. That's all right. Because guess what? Things aren't good right now. I'm going through it. And I love
you.
I'm here.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Like you just said, it validates them exactly. And, you know, it shows them, it teaches them that, you know, everything in life isn't going to be peaches and cream. Everything isn't going to be perfect. But God, you know, but
yeah,
as long as you keep pushing, keep moving forward, keep fighting,
it's
going to be all right. And, you know, those moments are just life-changing, life-altering moments. Now, you know, with you being a youth pastor, I want you to, you know, talk about that, you know, with that battle that you faced to, you know, prove to yourself and prove to your kids that you're not a quitter. You're going to keep fighting. You're going to keep pushing forward. You know, how did that, you know, help them in your ministry?
I mean, you know, with everything in life, you don't know the degree of your influence, right? You only know what you think you know, and it usually goes well beyond that, you know, because I think about the people who have influenced me, and they have no idea the degrees to which they've been influential in my life, you know? But I think the biggest thing is I'm authentic with them. I'm transparent with them to the degree that it's appropriate. You know, there's age-appropriate transparency. There's transparency to the degree that it's necessary for what you're trying to deposit in them. You know, I tell them all the time, they're not the homies. You know what I'm saying? So, like, I don't walk up in there like they're my BFFs and just talk about my life. Like, that's inappropriate, you know? To the degree that it helps meet them in their spaces of life, I share my life. You know, and so I think that being their pastor, I think it's helped me more than I have helped them, honestly. Like, and I think that's kind of just how life works, how God works. It's like he merges paths together, and you guys a lot of times are mutually beneficial, you know, for each other in a lot of ways. But I think the main way that it's helped me is it's made it, I have a conviction about the gospel because of my life. And so when I stand up before them to minister, it doesn't just sound good. You know, it's not just some stories I'm passing down or some good, you know, lessons I've learned in Bible school. No, this is my life. And so there's a level of just conviction in my ministry that just can't be, that I preach from, that I minister from. And then I'm real with them. So I have everyday conversations with them. You know what I'm saying? I open the floor and I allow them to ask questions, which is a very scary thing as a minister, because a lot of ministers don't want to be able to say, I don't know, you know? And so we oftentimes just tailor our sermons. We minister the sermon and don't leave room for questions. Well, kids, you better leave room for questions. You know,
and so
for me, it really becomes a conversation about God more than it is a sermon to you, a lecture to you about God. I invite you into a space where we can talk about what God looks like in your life and how he journeys with you, and to the degree that I can show you how he journeyed with me so that it informs your living, then I do so.
Yes. Yes, and I completely agree firsthand, being a youth Sunday school teacher. You know, I realize more so it's not just about teaching the lesson. It's more so about the interaction and hearing where their thoughts are and the questions that they have. Children don't learn the same way as adults learn, and 15, 16-year-olds don't learn the same way as 10, 11-year-olds. So, as you said, your transparency has to be tailored to fit their level. And, you know, with that, you know, what kind of advice could you give a young person who could be listening right now as far as, you know, what it is that they should really focus on in their relationship with God?
Honestly, I think the greatest message that I want to, like, to deliver to kids is that God sees you, God knows you, God cares, and that your thoughts are important to him. I think I just came from a winter camp where I took my kids to, and the minister, he really, really emphasized the idea that God doesn't just see you, but that he pays attention to you. Like, and that, see, your individual specific life matters to God. And that he's on the journey even with you at 13. even your cares matter. Like, there's nothing too small for God. You know what I'm saying? Like, the minister talked about, like, whatever is age appropriate that matters to you, it matters to him.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that is the biggest thing. It's like, that is about relationship with God. Like, you can tell God what you think, and he cares. You got, you know, like, versus just do these lists of things and it makes you a good Christian. Like, somehow relationship with God has been, has been swapped for behavior modification. And it's like, behavior modification will never give you intimacy with God. It will never give you a relationship with God. It will never help you to understand favor, because favor is not based on merit. Grace is not based on merit. Mercy is not based on merit. And so if all of your view of God is based on what you do, you will miss out on so much of the beauty of relationship with God that has absolutely nothing to do with what you can earn, but everything to do with who he's, what he wants to do for you and who he wants to be in your life and who he's decided he'll be in your life if you allow him to, you know. And so my biggest thing with my kids recently is talking to them about what it means to be citizens of God's kingdom. What does it mean to be a citizen of the kingdom versus what does it mean to, you know, do the Ten Commandments?
Yeah.
You know, because when you have a relationship with God, then you desire to live out his desires for you more than you feel obliged to.
Wow.
You actually believe that what God says is good for you is good for you. And that no good thing will he withhold from you. And so even in my life, I've been on a journey of really talking about what motivates my decision. Is it relationship or is it obligation? Is it believing that God says no good thing will he withhold from me? And if no good thing will he withhold from me, even the thing that seems good and feels good and I want for me, if God says it's not good for me, it ain't good for me. Versus don't do that because God said don't do it. Do I believe in obedience? Absolutely. But he doesn't call us to be obedient for the sake of being obedient. He calls us to be obedient because it's good for us.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what I want my kids to know, that what God has for you is good for you. And what God says no to is detrimental for you.
Mm-hmm. Well, listen, Danny. I want you to, for the people that have just logged on or didn't hear the beginning or the middle of the show, tell people what your social media information is, how they can get in touch with you, contact you for booking, speaking engagements, book signings, and just for that good word.
Well, the good word is between Genesis and Revelation, so you just got to open that up and, you know, digest it. It's just my, you know, my way. It's how he talks to me, but the cool thing is he talks to you too. But for bookings and that kind of stuff, my website is the name of the book, MondayNeverComes.com. And all my social media is one word, Watch Queen Lose, L-O-S-E. So Watch Queen, L-O-S-E. And that's basically all the platforms, Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat, Facebook. It's all that one word. So, yeah, that's how you can reach me.
Awesome. So, I want to talk about for a moment what when you're facing adversity, because you began to touch on this about how, you know, are we doing things out of obligation or because we just, you know, we expect something from God, or do we are we doing it out of relationship? Are we doing it because of, you know, our love for
Him? Yeah.
Talk about, I mean, because I struggle with this. I used to do, it was almost like God was like a genie in a bottle.
So
I used to obey because I was expecting like a reward. And I was younger then, so I didn't always understand obedience in the form of God is not a genie in a bottle. He is, you know, you're obeying God. Him as you would your parents. So how do you get, as a youth minister, how do you work with your kids to help them see God in a different light and not as one who you just go to when you need something or want something?
Yeah. Well, okay, you said something that I kind of, I think it's a mixture. I think my perspective is a mixed perspective because I don't think it's wrong to have an expectation from God, right? God says things, and he makes promises, and he says he's faithful to fulfill them. So if my expectation, I think it's fair, and I think it's good for me to have an expectation for God to be faithful to his word. And so there is a part of our living that is motivated by the belief that God will come through. And I don't think that that's wrong. Now, no, God is not a genie in a bottle, because a genie in a bottle says you have three wishes or whatever, and whatever you want it to be is what it will be, right? You got these things. And so you come with this idea that what I ask of you or what I desire of you is what you will deliver. And I think when it comes down to relationship with God, that goes back to the fact that God's plans are not our plans and God's ways are not our ways. And so God has a way of doing things in our lives that don't match always what we wanted or desired it to be. So if your relationship with God is solely motivated by God fulfilling the thing that you want him to do, then you're screwed. But if your relationship with God is based on the fact that you trust that whatever God does is good for you, and good to you, and that he will never fail you, and that he will never come up short. So even in the moments of disappointment and sadness, you can step back and say, even though it didn't happen the way I wanted to, maybe there's still a good plan in there for me that's inconsistent with what I expected or desired. So if you only see him as a genie, then you only serve him to the degree that he does what you want him to do, not what you believe is good for you, right? So on the flip side, it is fair to have an expectation that God is faithful to his word. So if his word says I've never seen the righteous forsaken, I have to stand and say, even though I feel forsaken right now, you said you won't forsake me. So I can endure this moment, and I can keep going, trusting that you got me, because my expectation is that you're faithful to your word. Because you said you're not like a man. You don't lie. You said you don't lie. So I get to tell you not to lie to me, God, and I get to believe that you won't lie. That's a fair expectation because you set that expectation, not me. You set that expectation. Yeah. I just set that expectation. You said you're not a liar. So I get to believe that you're not a liar, right? The problem comes when we determine what that looks like. So one thing I try to instill in my kids is one thing I try to do is be honest about my journey with God, with them. I've been disappointed too. I've been mad too. I've been angry too. But let me tell you what happened when I kept going. Let me tell you some things God did for me. If everything was about what I wanted God to do, my father would still be alive right now. And if everything was about God fulfilling my desires, I would have abandoned him on March 29th. Because that was not in my plan. You were going to walk me down the aisle. You were going to be a grandfather to my children. You know what I'm saying? If there were certain desires that I had of my life that completely changed on March 29th, right? But I am also sane today, and that didn't have to be the case either. I also know what it's like to be very depressed and to not be depressed right now. I also know what it's like to feel like life is going to take you out, and it doesn't, and it didn't. You know what I'm saying? And
what it makes me
is very compassionate. It makes me relatable. It makes me real. When a person is coming to me with their broken state, when I speak to their brokenness, it's not because I don't get it. You know what I'm saying? So, like, I know a God that makes beauty come from very ugly things, and that makes beauty from ashes. And so when I look into the scriptures and it says that, I can say, no, that's real. That's my life.
Oh, yeah.
So when I'm talking to 13-year-olds who got daddies that died, and that is literally my story, I can walk through their sadness with them, and I can hold their hand and still trust that the God that took care of me can take care of them too. You know what I'm saying? And so for me, that's more what I tell them my story. And I think if the generations older than us did more work at telling their story and less work at telling them what not to do, the gospel would seem more real to them. But so many people are so stuck to being ashamed of their story, whatever that is, or being whatever their issue is, they're more focused on changing the behavior of my kids instead of sharing their stories with them. What did God do for you? How is God journeying with you? Don't tell me not to be promiscuous when you were promiscuous and you don't want to talk about it. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's my issue. That's my issue, is you want to tell them what not to do, but you don't want to tell them about how you scraped your knee, how you went through some broken situations, how God's grace showed up on your behalf. And maybe if you tell them your story and some of your scars, it'll help them not make some of those same decisions.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, it just looks like an old person trying to tell me what to do.
Yeah.
I don't know if that answers your question or not.
Oh, yeah.
But I have a very amazing team that serves with me. And what I love most about my team is they're like me. They're real with the kids. They're real with them. They don't just tell them they love them. They go and pick them up when they're having a bad day. Don't tell me you love me if when I'm sad, you're not there. Or when I'm going through, who cares? And don't tell me that God loves me if you're not willing to be God's love in my life. That's the other thing.
I'm about to throw my phone, my shoe, my laptop. I'm just about to start tearing it up in here.
I just big on the fact that we can't get them to believe that God is a certain way if we're not willing to be that way with them. We can't tell them that God is gracious if we don't extend them grace. Why should they believe that someone they can't see loves them unconditionally and we're not at least willing to try to love them unconditionally? We're human, so we're going to mess up at it. But I think what saved my life is the people that God has placed in my life that have journeyed with me and done their best to model a God kind of love for me, even when I've made dumb decisions, even when I didn't always listen to them, even when my pride would get in the way. They didn't just leave me there when I didn't do the things that they thought were best for me and were best for me. They journeyed with me. And if a human can journey with me like that, maybe, just maybe, God journeys way better with me. But at least they gave me a concept.
Wow.
And I don't think kids need that. I think adults need that, too. We all need it.
Yeah.
Definitely. Man.
So that's what I want to give them, relationship with God. But how do I give them a relationship with God if I don't give them a relationship with me?
I'm just sitting here. I'm just here.
I know, right? I know.
I can't even speak. But look.
You guys are funny.
We're going to have to bring you back on and
I would love to be.
Do a special show, or I think we need to give her her own segment on the Melting Pot Radio Network.
Hey, that sounds
that's
fun.
My thought. So we definitely need to chat offline about that, because I believe that you have something that the world needs to hear, and why not do it on the World Wide Web? I can't believe I just said that, right? I'm dating myself. The World Wide Web. Who says that anymore?
Sometimes you know what the WWW stands for here and there.
Right. Well, listen, we just want to thank you for being on the show tonight. We just, I know that we were all blessed by your story, your passion, your compassion, your transparency, just your story overall. And so we thank you for taking time out of your day, your evening, to share with us, to share with our listeners, and to allow people to have a peek into your life. So very serious about having you join our network, so we definitely want to talk to you about that. But I also...
Oh, I think it'll be very fun. I thoroughly enjoy talking about God, so any platform opportunity I get to talk about that, let's go.
Awesome. Oh, yeah. Awesome. Well, look, we always close, we open and close Commission by Submission with prayer, and we were wondering if you would do the honors this evening of praying us out.
Oh, absolutely. Okay. So, God, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for just the honor and privilege it is to have a relationship with you, God. I pray that we don't take that for granted and we look at it as a gift that we get to offer other people. I pray that we live our lives in such a way that it compels people to want to know who is this Jesus that they're talking about, who is this God that loves the way they do and heals the way they do and transforms the way they do and just journeys life with people. I pray that you make us relatable, God, that you make us compelling, God, that people can look at our lives and want you, God, ultimately. And so we thank you. I thank you for this radio show. I thank you for the courage that it talks to take to publicly proclaim the name of Christ and whatever comes with that, God. I just thank you for the grace that you give us to continue to take this journey on. And so I pray that whatever nuggets were deposited today, that they will fall on good soil, God. I pray against whatever attacks of the enemy that he likes to try to bring our way to deter us or distract us or discourage us. I pray that you would encamp angels around every person on this phone call and that you would help the defeats to take root and that our lives will be transformed and that we would do something different today because we had an encounter with you through this radio show. And so we thank you for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 Well, thank you all again for joining us. Thank you to Queen for being on tonight's show. As always, you can follow us on Twitter, Facebook, on Twitter at MeltingPotRN. You can follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/ The Melting Pot Radio Network. You can also connect with us on Instagram at Melting Pot Radio Network. To listen to this show again or any of our other episodes, please log on to blogtalkradio.com/ Melting Pot Radio Network. If you or anyone you know is interested in being a guest on any one of our shows, again, we have openings for Spit Game, our sports show, Monday nights, Tuesday nights, Business Blitz, Wednesday nights is Commission by Submission. Saturday nights, The Show with Big TJ and Monty the Sportologist. And Sunday evenings is No Box Thinking Radio with Jonathan Kegler. If you or anyone you know is interested in being a guest on any one of these shows, please email us at meltingpotradionetwork@gmail.com. Again, meltingpotradionetwork@gmail.com. Thank you all for joining us tonight. I'm Danny Wright. He's Daniel Trawick. We are your hosts of Commission by Submission. Daniel.
Yes. I'm here.
He's a little speechless. We're a little speechless. Great show tonight. We're so grateful. We thank you all for listening in. Thank you for your support. And I think there is no other song more fitting when after listening to Liana's story, there is no better way to close out than to turn up with Ty Trivet. He turned it.
Oh, yeah.
Good night, y'all.
Good night.
devil thought he. Can I testify?